Hello and welcome back. Hey, this is Charles, and you are tuned into the Bringing It All Back Home podcast. And I'm ready today to jump back into an analog combo. This episode is going to explore a nice alternative to the really overpriced lenses for your Leica. You may have already heard about this guy. This is the 35 millimeter lens produced by the Zeiss brand out there, you know. This is the Biogon. So it's going to be an analog combo exploring the Carl Zeiss Biogon T 35 millimeter f/2 ZM. We're talking about the Leica mount. And I was able to take at least 5 rolls with this guy. Had it for a week. Had it on my Leica M4. So that's the combo. I'm going to get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty as to what film I used, how I developed it. But yeah, really, it's kind of I want to get this episode as a look at a new lens. I rented this guy from Lens Rentals. And check out, you know, the results, what I thought, what I would recommend. And then I'd like to just catch up a little bit on some of the color rolls that I just recently received back from the Nice Film Lab, going back to my previous 2 shoots down in Wildwood. So that's what today's episode is going to be all about. A little analog combo, a little bit of a lens review. So yeah, going to take a sip of cold water and jump right in. So again, what prompted me to explore this lens for a week was one of those promotions that if you're on the mailing list for Lens Rentals, they'll throw out there. This one happened to be a 15% off. I've already used their yearly promotion where I get free shipping. So it's not bad. You know, it's not bad. You can get a lens for a week. They often lately will keep trying to ship the lens slightly early, you know, so really it was for at least 8 days rather than 7. Just a huge shout out to lensrentals.com. They're killing it. They are so consistent. I've had nothing but great experiences from those guys. Anyhow, what is this guy about? The Carl Zeiss Biogon, the 35 millimeter. You know, I think you can't really see this guy solo. It's more about how does it compare to maybe the slightly cheaper Voigtlander Nocton, although that's a little bit faster. But really, how does it compare to the much, much more expensive Leica glass out there? It is a slightly larger lens. It's got more of a complex design. Supposedly, this has 9 elements. They are coated, they're multi-coated with the classic Zeiss T rating, you know, the T coating rather. So yeah, this has the T asterisk Zeiss coating, which I'll talk about more about how that relates, in my opinion, to the contrast level of the lens. And it's been around since 2005. The Zeiss glass that you get today is actually produced back in Japan by Cosina, who is also the same people who produces Voigtlander. So yeah, kind of weird that, you know, it's 2 separate brands, 2 different kind of systems, filling in the gap for those folks out there who love their Leica but aren't ready to commit to, you know, the insane prices. Is insane the right word? The quite high prices for the equivalent Leica glass. Anyhow, what does this lens go for on eBay right now? You would be looking at, based on today's eBay sold, the most recent glass from the most recent versions of this glass that was sold on eBay, we're looking at $500 or $550, somewhere in the $5 to $550 used. I believe that new, this guy's going for close to $1,000 new. So, I don't know. Make of that what you will. It is like I mentioned, it's a 9-element design. It weighs 240 grams. And it also has, what is it, 10 blades in there, 10-blade curved aperture. So this is the readout from Lens Rentals. Yeah, the lens offers solid image quality, great color warmth across the frame, 10-blade curved aperture makes for smooth out-of-focus highlights. The Zeiss coating is flare resistant, and it also has very little geometric distortion. So that's something I definitely did notice. And they talk about, too, if you are going to be using this guy on the more modern digital Leicas, you can also choose a setup so that you can help tweak that a little bit. You could use this 35 Summicron preset. That's not something I'm going to get into. And yeah, the person from Lens Rental, Roger, says this can be a very good, very cost-effective alternative to the Leica 35mm lens offerings, including the Summicron pre-ASPH, the spherical. So yeah, according to Roger, properly set up, it's quite sharp, but not as sharp as the Leica 35, but very close. And on the digital stuff, it'll render the colors a bit warmer than Leica, which a lot of people prefer. And yeah, this is the most, I think, interesting thing about the lens, according to Roger's take from Lens Rentals. This lens has about the least distortion of anything ever, virtually nil. Yeah, interesting endorsement. So depending on what you shoot, are you shooting a lot of buildings? Is your landscape including a lot of vintage mid-20th century architecture, i.e. Wildwood motels? Do you just like shooting the way the light is falling against the brick walls of an interesting historical site? Brick walls, buildings, architecture. Maybe this lens is going to appeal to you more so, say, than a lot of the other stuff out there. Anyhow, that's something to consider. Yeah, so it's a little bit of the breakdown. Again, pricing used is around $500 or $550. Purchasing it new, you're looking closer to a grand. And it's definitely got a high recommendation when it comes to the distortion. So I want to jump into what was my take. How did I feel about the lens? Well, basically, I did get to shoot with it over at least a 7-day period. I did tackle, I think, 5, maybe even 6 rolls. On my screen here in Lightroom, I do have like my faves. Not that many, you know, but again, this was not really a defined, I'm going to this certain location on this certain date, or I'm waiting for the weather to be perfect. I was just kind of, hey, got the lens for a week. I'm going to shoot with it no matter what the conditions. Kind of lucked out. Got some half-decent morning light here in October. So my take on it was I had no problem with the build quality or the feel. Some of the reviews find this a little bit long, you know, and I'm not really in that camp. I've had a Zeiss lens before. My first Zeiss lens for the Leica system was the Planar. That kind of had a slightly longer feel to it. Some people will obsess with the fact that they can see a little bit of the lens in the viewfinder. I don't mind. For me, that's really not that big of an issue. It's more about, like, does the overall build and weight start to feel awkward? And I didn't feel that way at all. I don't think it has an awkward feel on the Leica. Again, I was using it with my Leica M4. So for me, yeah, the feel was just fine. I kind of like the feel of the throw on the Zeiss system lenses. Again, I originally had the Planar, which I've since sold. Like the focus, like the feel of the aperture clicks. Just, I thought it was just fine as far as the build stuff goes. What I ended up using it with was, I have quite a few extra rolls of T-Max 400. I'm more of a T-Max 100 guy. That's the stuff I can, I've shot that in bulk. I can go through T-Max 100 really, really quickly. I also love the fact how T-Max 100 plays so well with Rodinal stand development, which is my all-time perfect lazy man's way to get great results. So, I have to kind of force myself to finish up all these rolls of T-Max 400. I think what I finally realized is I'm just not really a 400 shooter when it comes to 35 millimeter. I don't mind, or I love 400 when I'm shooting, you know, a portrait session, obviously Kodak Portra 400, or I'm shooting anything in medium format. With just everyday stuff with 35 millimeter, I tend to go to those slower speeds. I've always favored the slower speeds. I favor the FP4. I went through a Delta 100 craze for a while. I'm currently back into trying out Acros 100 for medium format. And yeah, I absolutely love T-Max 100 in Rodinal. It's just a killer combination. I got the tip on that from the Film Photography Project podcast. But getting back to this stuff, yeah, this analog combo, I've got 400 speed film, I've got T-Max, I've got several rolls of this stuff, I have developer ready to go, I mixed together a big, for me, a much larger amount of ID11. I normally just mix up the 1 gallon packets, I mixed up one of the 5 liter packets, so I've got ID11 out the wazoo, which I was normally using as 1:1. But in this case, because I'm already 3 weeks into the development of that or the mixing of that ID11, I like to use up my ID11 within a month. It doesn't have to, but I just find that I don't have to worry about it. So I'm switching back now to stock just to get through it. So that was the goal. That's the full combo. A real nice, sharp, slightly contrasty 35 millimeter lens on a classic Leica body using T-Max 400 developed in ID11 stock. And what jumps out at me right now looking at my fave 5-star pictures from the week is just how much punchier, how much more punchy I can talk. This lens is a punchier lens. It just has a higher contrast value than what I've been used to when it comes to the other 35, which I actually bought, which I'll talk about more later. So compared to my other 35 for Leica, which is the Voigtlander, the Nocton. Compared to that, the Nocton Classic 35 1.42. This guy is punchy. This is a punchier lens. This in areas where the sun's behind me and I'm just getting that morning light against the wall and I'm looking for interesting ways to fill up that 35 millimeter frame line, I'm just seeing way richer, punchier blacks. I'm seeing a lot more of that Zeiss T look, you know? So it very much, I think I'm starting to really get to know the difference between my Voigtlander and the Zeiss lenses. And again, this is the Biogon versus my previous experience with the Planar. But the shoot I did this week, yeah, it really, really stands out. I was very, very impressed though with the rendering. I think it is absolutely a very, very, I think it's a very competent lens. Like you could just easily get going with this guy. And I was shooting at different apertures, mostly I tended to be shooting because it was a higher speed film from what I'm used to, tended to be shooting at least 5.6. Generally, I was a little bit, so around 8 or 11, sometimes even somewhere around 16, just because the sun was really starting to come up. That was my readings. So in my opinion, again, the feel of the lens is great on a Leica. I shot nothing but black and white film. So One thing I did not get to really experience was that warmer tone shooting color. I had already used up my color rolls of film that I don't have any 35 millimeter color film at the moment, so I was not able to test it with color film. But yeah, I think it's a very good lens. More than good. It's a very good lens. And especially living up to what Roger talked about, where I'm seeing this guy really, really shine is the practically zero distortion. There are so many shots where I do have the light against the building. And yeah, it's as if I had already put it through a plug-in to correct the distortion. There is practically no distortion. So yeah, that's a big, big factor. I think if you are going to be shooting, again, like say, in my case, say I was going to really commit to this lens and use it for my color film stuff, you know, take out the Kodak Gold, take out the Portra 160, take out the Portra 400, hit up the mid-century architecture goodness that is still, hopefully, still around for a couple more years. And this is, I'm referring to South Jersey, typically Wildwood, but there's still a couple of motels right here where I live in Margate that are very photogenic. Yeah, this guy's kind of nice in that I don't have to really worry about distortion. So that's a thumbs up. I think I would recommend this guy. I don't have the experience, though, of comparing it to a 35 Summicron. I really don't. I've never rented that. I've rented the 50 Summicron. So yeah, maybe that will be another rental when things get heated up. And I guess the other thing is, so looking at my full results, how did the development go when it came to that combo with T-Max 400 combined with the stock? I think I like, now this is also another kind of connected point. I think because this is a slightly more modern glass that's going to give you a punchier image, the fact that I developed the last three rolls in stock ID11 versus the 1+1, I think that actually helped because some of the stuff just looks, it just has that contrastier look. Like it's not trying to open up those shadows quite as much. Although, depending on the exposure, I had plenty of scenarios where I got lots of open shadows. You know, my metering, which happened to be on my Gossen meter, you know, the metering was just fine. But yeah, I kind of like that combo of using stock ID11 and a slightly punchier lens. And yeah, it all comes together to combine with a very, very nice look, to be more specific there, a look that is just a little bit more modern. It is not combining to give this guy a vintage overall look. That would be something different. And that's where I think the next time I go out and shoot a couple more rolls, I'll probably be, with that camera, I'll be shooting with the Voigtlander, you know, the Voigtlander. And I'll typically be shooting with T-Max 100. And yeah, I find, if I had to make a comparison from what I have currently, I find the Voigtlander to be a little easier on the contrast, you know? And it's not going to jump out at you as a completely vintage lens. That would be something different, which I will mention if I have time. When I think of a purely vintage lens, I think of something from the 70s, say. For instance, my little rangefinder from Yashica, my Electro 35. That thing just reeks of vintage, meaning it's not as high resolution. It's going to treat colors in a slightly less saturated way. The lens does not have as much multi-coating magic that a modern lens has. But yeah, I think if I was going to use this Zeiss instead, and I shot with it all the time, and I was becoming a dedicated 35 millimeter, fanatic, I would like it quite a lot. And who knows? I think it's also one of those things where I shot the lens this week. I developed these pictures this week. I almost wonder if I'm going to really reappraise the lens as I come back to it in a couple months. Sometimes I don't always get, you know, how good a lens is until I go back to the pics. But I can see at least 4 or 5 of these pics from the favorited 10. I got some outstanding results. I was very, very happy too on this one day shooting our historical hotel here in Margate, Lucy the Elephant. There were some interesting clouds behind Lucy, and I did not use any filter in any way on these shots, and it looks like I really did. Like, it looks like I have a yellow filter, just the way the separation between Lucy and the defined clouds behind Lucy the Elephant. I think it did a terrific job. So yeah, really, really happy with it. Is it worth the price jump, say again, from the Voigtlander up to the Zeiss? Well, the Voigtlander right now, let me go back to my notes and just make sure I'm quoting this correctly. The Voigtlander is going for around 400 use. And again, this is the Nocton Classic, slightly faster 1.4 for Leica, also made by Cassina. And that is a smaller lens as well. So that's really a lighter lens if you're a purist about having the lens not show up in your viewfinder. Great lens. It's the one I own. And that is going for around 400, maybe a little less. I think you could probably find that for 375 to 400 something, whereas I did not see the Biogon any less than 500, and I have seen the most recent one go for 550. So yeah, I guess around $100 to $150 difference, and one is going to be a slightly more vintage look, not as contrasty. I kind of like the vague micro contrast on the Voigtlander slightly better. So I think, yeah, my overall take was it did not make me want to sell the Voigtlander and move on back to Zeiss, which part of me was wondering if it would. And I would have been quite happy to do that. I started with the Zeiss Planer 50 and then moved on to the current 35mm, you know, Voigtlander Nocton. And I have rented other lenses for Leica. I did an episode about renting the 50 Summicron, which is incredibly expensive. Even used, you'd be lucky to find that guy for $2,000. It's going anywhere. It's going for like close to $3,000 new now. Yeah, if you like 35, you're going to have a lot of great options. But I thought it was a good lens, and I thought it was a fun rental. If you are in the Leica world, whether you're shooting digital or film, and you're okay with 35. So with me and the M4, it's a nice pairing. The M4 has the frame line, the uninterrupted frame line for either 35 or 50. It's wonderful that way. You put on a 50mm lens, all you see is the 50 frame line. That's it. None of this double frame line stuff. Or like with my Leica CL, all this extra weirdness, you know. That's the one fantastic thing about the M4. Now, a lot of folks out there are into the M4P, especially if it comes in black. It's a cool looking body. It's not that expensive. You could probably find the M4P under $2,000, and that also does not have a built-in meter. It's a mechanical wonder there. But that has the ability, I believe, to see the 28 frame line, which doesn't go away. So I think that one's always showing you like, I believe it's like 28 or 90, as well as the 50 frame lines. And that's a nice combo. But yeah, that's a whole nother ball of wax too, because yeah, if you have the M6 or you have the M4P, is 35 going to even be in the ballpark for you? You know, so for me, I think this is a lens I would highly consider if you have, say, the Leica M2, you know, or the original Leica M4. Both those cameras are just made for 35mm as well. You know, you get these wonderful frame lines just for 35. And like I mentioned on another podcast, I'm still a 50 guy. I still find fit, not because I'm ascribing to, you know, any like snobby, you know, well, 50s really has the blah, blah, blah. No, it's just more like I just find it so much easier to fill the frame quicker with a 50. With a 50, I can just kind of go in and go like, okay, yeah, this looks like I have some compositional lines or some things here that are going to work at a much faster pace. Whereas with 35, I find that I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and all I see is like a third of the image, just like, I don't know what to do with it. You know, at least a third of the image, I'm like, is this going to do anything for my image? Do I just have extra unused dead air here? You know, I got into that before on a previous podcast, how I think for me to really get the 35 millimeter, the wonders of 35, I would just need to be shooting with it all the time. Just all the time. I would need to, and maybe that's something I could consider doing. Just going on a rampage with maybe the cheapest film possible, or maybe I'll, you know, just get some bulk FP4 and just decide to just shoot the 35 nonstop for like a month, and just see how my eye is increasing in both quality and speed. But yeah, currently when I use my 35, it's slower and I'm not getting as many successful shots in terms of composition. So that's the one drawback, and that's the one area where it's just a little bit ironic. Like I finally have a Leica M, you know, which I was worshiping, but from afar for 10 years, and I finally got into it because I figured the prices are going to just keep going up if I don't jump in now. And yeah, so finally got the Leica M, and I wasn't really happy with the Zeiss Planar. The Zeiss Planar 50 kind of let me down in a couple of ways. I think I felt like I was still missing, especially in black and white, that micro contrast look from what I was used to with the CL lens. So the Leica CL with that 40 Summicron C, that kind of introduced me to the wonders of the Leica micro contrast look. But meanwhile, yeah, I can't afford a Summicron for the 50, at least not yet. I don't know. I just felt like I cannot commit yet to that, because the camera itself was not cheap. But anyhow, yeah, I felt like, well, let me just go into this Voigtlander 35, even though 35 is not my ideal, you know, way of composing an image. I felt the Voigtlander Nocton had just something so much closer to the vintage look, but also having that glow and also having just a little bit more of that micro contrast. So yeah, I'm ready to move on. If I could just find a 50 for the Leica that can summon up some of that Summicron goodness, I would jump in immediately. But it's unlikely. Anyhow, so that's a little bit about my analog combo. Just wanted to also kind of touch base on the results from my color picks. So I did my last episode was, or two episodes ago, I was going into completing the circle, you know, going through my film cameras, going through a lot of film, being able to kind of like start, at a little bit more of a fresher point, like knowing which of these film cameras are still really working for me, and knowing that I have this film around because I really love it, you know, and I want to buy more, or I have this film around because part of me just thought I would like it, and maybe I don't really so much. So yeah, I have kind of figured out that for 35 millimeter, I'm less and less inclined to shoot at 400 speed film, unless it's color, of course. Color is a whole other ball of wax. And yeah, but speaking of color, I did get my color images back from Nice Film Labs. And what I was shooting with was several different cameras. So I shot with my vintage Yashica. You know, I had my Yashica with the Electro 35. Absolutely love the pictures from the Electro 35. That to me is such a wonderful combination of just pure vintage results, you know? Just like it's just a wonderful scenario because there's just nothing that you have to do. You know, there's nothing you have to do. Like some of these shots, I'm like, okay, yeah, perfect. This looks like I have a shot of a vintage motel with that subtle pastel-y morning light. And I shot with a lens that was extremely low in contrast, vintage 70s lens. And it just looks so well combined. Like this led me to the results I was absolutely looking for. So yeah, another huge, it seems like I'm doing a shout out for the Yashica GSN, the Electro 35, over and over, almost every episode, with one exception. Again, I mentioned this, I think, the viewfinder on mine sucks. The viewfinder is like, wow, I hope this picture comes out fine because I can, it's really not a viewfinder to shout out. And again, that could just be where my copy, the viewfinder is not so good anymore, but my lens is still banging for the vintage look. So yeah, shot with that, shot with two SLR cameras, the Contax RTS with my 50 1.7 planar. Also shot with the Leica R3 with the Summicron. The Summicron that I would love to have in M format is still affordable for the R. But yeah, again, I think on different podcasts have mentioned jumping into the R cameras. Tread cautiously. You know, so far for at least 3 months now, have an R camera that is still working. That is the one drawback of jumping into the R system. You save thousands of dollars on some of the lenses. You know, the Summicron lens was under 300 or something. It was like really affordable compared to 3,000. Anyhow, that worked out great. Really, really happy with those results. But the surprise, once again, if I had to pick which camera produced absolutely stunning results, it was the cheapest one I had. Well, okay, I retake that. Technically, the Yashica was the cheapest camera, but that was going for purely vintage look. This would be the cheapest camera with a slightly more modern look, and that was that combo, the Nikon N75 paired with the 28-80G. Did a podcast about that if you want to look through my previous episodes. This guy is such a sleeper combo, and it was wonderful. That combo helped bring, and this I shot with Portra 400, helped bring the colors out like in an astonishing way. Like they just look so nice. So I have like some morning golden light with these wonderful film tones, you know, the way the orange and golden light is blending into the shadows. I have some photos of the kind of wildwood colors of the motels, these really spearminty greens, and some of the places still had their pool filled up and the reflections in the pools. There's just this one of just a simple vertical shot of just the motel doors with the wonderful little details of the mid-century motels in Wildwood is the lighting. The lighting that they have, they're often these really simplistic, typically very very round lighting where the fixtures are just something round, you know, that are hanging down. Just a wonderful, chill, mid-century, modern, almost Palm Springs-esque vibe that luckily is for the picking down in Wildwood. So yeah, really, really happy with those rolls. But the only camera that kind of let me down out of that rotation was I did shoot some pics with my lovely ME Super, my Pentax ME Super, which I love this camera. It's so simple to load. I've never had any issues loading film. I love how small and light it is. It has, you know, built-in aperture metering, but I don't know what went wrong. But out of my out of this color roll of film, again, this was Portra 160, quite a few shots where it's not even like it's not even very well focused, you know? So I'm like, oh, great. What's going on with my good old ME Super? That was the only one where, yeah, I mean, maybe I just wasn't paying attention to the shutter speed. I could attribute this to user error. Like I had gone out in morning light. It's aperture priority. I maybe just wasn't awake very well. Maybe my focusing was off. Maybe I wasn't aware that it was going to be shooting at 1/130th or 1/15th, and it's not a rangefinder. So it does maybe have a slight, you know, maybe I'm going to chalk this up to just me being dumb with the camera, because I love this camera. I don't want it to be one of my, oh well, you know, it's not very inspiring. But yeah, that was the only role that was not just not very inspiring, but part of me was wondering, am I missing something here? So yeah, that was the Portra 160 combined with the ME Super. Something was off with that role, both in focus, mostly just with the focusing of it. And then where I thought the focusing was just fine, is it consistently interesting? So yeah, I have a couple shots where I'm shooting at 1.7 or 2.8 or F2, and I'm focusing on my Ovation guitar, and they look just fine. But there I am walking around in the morning light, and my images, which would normally be acceptably sharp, are just not. So yeah, gonna have to find out. So I think I might throw some more of my remaining film for the 400 in my ME Super, try to wrap that one up. But anyway, that is the episode for this week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And I think I'm gonna come back eventually soon with some more live chats. Been trying to get something together there. And I hope you have a good fall foliage week or two before it all ends. And I'll talk to you soon.